RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hello and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. You are listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels. All right, so we're talking about beliefs, and with the flu shot, we're talking about a belief. Okay, so this is definitely a belief, and beliefs are things people choose to accept as true. And so the accepting the flu shot means you accept as true that this is a responsible thing to do. This is what you must do. And so another acceptance in terms of a belief is that the flu shot prevents the flu. Well, what's the flu? The flu is, of course, this whole constellation of respiratory symptoms. And these are actually just toxicity. Toxicity from manufacturing plants, from air pollution, from a government releasing chemicals in the air a lot of times to experiment. They've documented in California that has actually been the case. The government has released toxins into the air to test different biological weapons. And, of course, their marker is how many cases of the flu. And so the thing to understand then is the flu, even the existence of the flu, is really a cover story. It's a cover story for environmental causes. When you stop and think about it, if you have large numbers of people getting the same symptoms at the same time, it cannot possibly be person-to-person spread. Because one person would get it, wait 2 days, the next people would start getting it, wait 2 days, and so on. So you can't get a mass outbreak unless you have a common source outbreak. So a mass outbreak would be basically happening by dropping a bomb, say, or by a flood. So some abrupt event that affects large numbers of people at the same time. Or the smoke from a nearby factory. And in many cases in the United States, the children living in the area of a hospital, like within a 10-block area, have increased respiratory problems because the hospitals use incinerators to burn their trash, and these children get asthma. And, of course, they get asthma, and what do? They go to the hospital for treatment. So, again, beliefs. So the flu shot is a faith-based maneuver. So the government's own numbers do not support getting the flu shot. Absolutely do not support getting the flu shot. Because most of what's called the flu is not caused by a virus. And then what is caused by, when we say caused by a virus, what exists in the presence of the virus is a very small amount of what's going on. And so there's not any evidence that the presence of the virus is causing these flu-like symptoms. That would be another study to do, to take 10,000 people, check them all for the flu virus, and of the ones that checked positive for the flu virus, which ones actually had flu symptoms? Not something that I'm aware of has been done. So this is something independent of the flu shot. The question is, does the flu virus cause the flu-like symptoms? The answer is, at the moment, there is no evidence of that, because in 90% of the people who have flu-like symptoms, we know the flu virus was not the cause. So there we go. So you can't establish, just based on available information, that the flu virus, even if present, causes what we are calling the seasonal flu. Again, beliefs, all about beliefs. So I'll tell you what happened in my family. So one year, I was pregnant. That's why I did not get the flu shot. That year that I did not get the flu shot, I was so healthy. I had absolutely no flu symptoms. And I said, well, I'm never getting the flu shot again. And that was back in the 90s. My mother was my employee at my office. So I said, Mom, you gotta get the flu shot. You know, get the flu shot, get the flu shot. Gave Mom the flu shot. Mom was sick for weeks. And so Mom never got the flu shot again, and I never got the flu shot again. This is back in the 90s, 27 years ago, right? Mom's 85 years old, has not had a flu shot in at least 20 years, well, 30 years. So, again, there is an example of an elderly person, certainly at high risk for whatever you want to be at risk for, has not gotten not only the flu shot or any other vaccines for that matter, and is doing very, very well, very fine for 85 years old. So again, you have to examine what is your belief and what is available fact or available data. So available, and you have to question yourself, why are you doing what you're doing? Is it because it's always based on a belief? And you ask yourself, what is it that I believe that's leading me to take this action, in this case, a flu shot? And then the next question is, well, is that true? Is that true? And if you look at all the great epidemics in the history, in modern history, ones I've checked at, they've all been common source outbreak. There has never been a person-to-person spread of an epidemic. It has always been an environmental issue. And so that's an important thing to know, just by the way. flu shot, definitely a faith-based maneuver. So another faith based thing is weight. Some people are overweight and some people are underweight. A lot of people say, oh, you know, it's because I eat this or I eat that or this person eats this or whatever. But there are skinny people who eat nothing but junk food. And there are fat people who eat a lot of health food. So the question is, what's really going on here? And one can look at literally their beliefs. And for example, take a fat person and a skinny person. They both have a tummy ache. Very, very mild. Very slight. Nothing big. Just very slight. The fat person will say, let me eat something that's about to settle my stomach. Skinny person will say, I'm not going to eat anything until I feel better. Same objective fact, mild tummy ache. But because their beliefs are different, they take different actions and they get different outcomes in terms of their actual weight. And the fundamental belief there is people who are overweight believe that food solves all problems. You got a problem? Time to eat. Let's eat and then think about the problem. A person who's slender believes food is never the answer to anything. If we've got a problem, by golly, we have to address this problem directly. And just those two different sets of beliefs determine a person's weight. Separates the skinny from the overweight. And so I would encourage people to really, really examine their beliefs. And I think in the area of health, a huge belief that would save a lot of lives is, I made myself sick, I can make myself healthy. So, first belief, I made myself sick. Second belief, I can make myself healthy. Those are two very powerful, empowering beliefs not culturally fashionable, but they can result in health. What's the other set of beliefs that can just be devastating? Is fate. It just fell out the air. Somebody else did it. They sneezed on me. That's what it was. They sneezed on me. So someone else made me sick, or something else made me sick, and someone else is going to heal me. Someone outside of me. Maybe that would be a doctor, an emergency room, a hospital, a pill. And so these are devastating and deadly assumptions. So 75,000 people every year, this is the hospital's own numbers, 75,000 people every year die just because they went to the hospital and they got an infection because they went to the hospital. And from pills, again, these are the industry's own numbers, 128,000 every year die just because they took a pill. Now, these numbers, you know, can sound just meaningless until you realize that AIDS, if you believe in AIDS, 14,000 deaths per year are attributed to AIDS. And people are using condoms to avoid AIDS. People are going to court to sue their sexual partners who they believed gave them AIDS. And so a tremendous amount of activity is happening around this whole AIDS thing that only kills 14,000 people. Well, if you're willing to go through, or our society is willing to go through all that to prevent something that kills only 14,000 Americans a year, what level of effort, what level of precaution, what level of personal responsibility, what level of personal adjustment do you think you should take to avoid something that kills 128,000 Americans a year? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're willing to avoid all sex because you're afraid of getting AIDS, how about avoiding all health care because you're afraid of being one of the 128,000 people every year who die from it? If you're willing to use condoms to prevent AIDS, how about refusing to even go to a hospital so you can avoid being one of the 75,000 people every year who die of a hospital-acquired infection? So I think it's helpful to take a look at the various hazards in your life and the extreme measures you're willing to take to prevent those hazards and to at least confront yourself and be consistent about taking actions of similar magnitude to avoid hazards of similar magnitudes. So in other words, don't take fewer precautions against a hazard that kills 128,000 Americans than what you would take against a hazard that kills 14,000 Americans. You know, put your efforts in line with the true threat. So now many of you know that I write comic strips. So more comic strips have been coming to me lately. So these two guys are talking, and the first guy says, well, my doctor says if I don't have this surgery, I'm going to die. Second guy says, seems to me we're all going to die. Whether you have the surgery or not, you're going to die. Is he trying to sell you immortality? First person says, I never thought of it that way. Second person says, well, you're not going to fall for that scam, are you? That's as old as time. So you have to, of course, the moral of the story is you've got to look at medical conversations and medical claims in the same light that you would look at non-medical exchanges. So somebody says, give me $100,000 or you're going to die. And you'd laugh at them because you know you're going to die anyway because you're human. That's number one. And number two, are they threatening to kill you if you don't give them $100,000? What, you know, how's this death going to take place? So conversations with medical people should be viewed in the same light, because they're saying the same thing. If someone says to you that if you don't do this, you're going to die. I mean, you got to look at them and say, well, I'm going to die no matter what I do. So, you know, that's not much of a promise. So you can probably clarify this. Ask a doctor, well, wait a minute. I'm going to die no matter what I do. Are you telling me I'm going to be more comfortable? Are you telling me I'm going to have more friends? I'm going to make more money? I'm going to be happier? What is it that's going to happen as a result of me doing what you are suggesting? And so you need to focus on that, on what makes sense. For someone to save your life makes no sense. Can't be saved. All of us, even me, are going to die one day. And so anyone who claims that they can prevent that or make you immortal, well, now we're in a different conversation here. Now we're talking about the area of religion, spirituality, and faith. And so is this doctor a religious figure in your life? You've got to decide that. Maybe he is. Maybe he is. But that is, you've got to, absolutely got to realign your beliefs to support your health. And so the belief that somebody else made you sick is not a belief that can support your health or even your healing for that matter. A lot of people believe, oh, vaccines did this, oh, vaccines did that. What would be even more helpful would be to understand, well, wait a minute, what led me to get that vaccine? How can I not get any more vaccines? The next question would be, okay, what are the ill effects I'm experiencing and how can I mitigate or lessen them? And so if you focus on your belief about your role in your health and your role in the causation of your disease, then that's a lot more productive. I remember I was in medical school. So everyone goes to medical school because they want to understand illness better. They want these rational, scientific explanations. And so disease after disease after disease had no rational explanation. And so we spent a lot of time in medical school learning to treat something called hypertension. So, of course, everybody wanted to know, what causes hypertension? How does one person get hypertension and another person not? And the professor actually said, I don't know. It's not known. It's just something that happens. Well, that's not very scientific. If hypertension is something that just falls out of the sky, it inhabits the body of this person, but not that person, then can't that same thing that falls out of the sky and enters somebody's body causing hypertension choose one day to leave? Of course it could. And if that's the case, then how can you recommend high blood pressure pills for life? Can't. Because once the evil spirit enters a person's body, it could decide to leave and go to another body. And so nothing made any sense. If you don't know why the person gets hypertension, then how can you, if you can't predict who's going to get it and who isn't, how can you predict that a person who gets it will need medicines the rest of their life?
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. So, the hypertension then is a faith-based condition. So, doctors believe faith. That is just caused by something in the air. It just falls down and inhabits a particular body. Diabetes, another faith-based condition. Just falls out of the air. Some people get it, some don't. Happens in families. Maybe it's hereditary, we don't know. So again, you have there's faith where we believed science existed. So people believed, and I went to medical school, I believed that I was going to learn the scientific basis of hypertension, the scientific basis of arthritis, the scientific basis of diabetes. And in medical school, there was none. No scientific basis whatever. And so what you have then, on the other side of this diabetic diagnosis, or arthritic diagnosis, is faith. In other words, there is no scientific understanding of why you have it and not someone else. And so this idea that diseases are caused by fate is not a whole lot different from the very unscientific superstition that was the foundation of medicine supposedly before the scientific era. So even though we find ourselves in what's called a scientific era, our understanding of disease is based totally on superstition. And when you say to a doctor, why do I have this problem? The answer is, I don't know. Just happens. And so then the medical industrial complex, the doctor, the hospital are no better than the superstitious faith healers of long ago. In fact, they're a lot worse if you look at their kill rate. So, again, it's all about your beliefs, though. It helps to understand that the doctor's belief system is one based on superstition, not science. And so if you put your faith in the doctor, your belief in the doctor, then you are putting your faith in a system of superstition. So that brings us back to just the whole basic belief structure. So then, if you have this system of superstition and you're going to believe in it, what are you going to believe? Well, many people believe that healthcare in the United States, as it's now practiced, can restore their health or make them healthy. This is probably not a reasonable belief. In fact, there's almost no evidence for this. I won't say almost, there's no evidence for this. When you have a system that, again, by its own admission, when they total up the death count, it's 400 and some odd thousand. My total is 880,000. It doesn't matter which one you believe. It's a pretty big number. And so the question is, would you pay for admission to a carnival show that kills 480,000 people a year? You would probably think that that's like pretty stupid. And if someone told you, hey, I just got a ticket. I got a ticket to the carnival show. I said, well, what's the act? Well, the act is that they torture me and maybe kill me. And they kill 428,000 people every year. So who knows? Somebody would probably tell you that you're stupid for submitting to that. Or you would tell someone else who told you that story that you're dumb to buy that kind of ticket. But people do it every month. It's called health insurance. And, that's what you're buying when you buy health insurance. You're buying a ticket to a carnival where the main attraction is torture, mutilation, and death. And you've just got to decide if you want to buy that lottery ticket.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. 9543. Thank you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com, or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, today we're talking about beliefs and how beliefs can shape your health, even your life and your future. And so there are your beliefs, of course, but those are the only ones you control, by the way. And then there's the beliefs that your doctor has. And both of these beliefs have incredible impact on what you are told and your experience. The most important belief, though, is your personal belief. Now, there's another set of beliefs that go into this, which is the beliefs of your relatives and friends. And a lot of times your relatives and friends will have the belief that going to the healthcare system, going to the emergency room, going to taking a pill, having surgery is the best thing for you, and by golly, they're going to help you do it. So that is another issue. But the most important thing for you to get a grip on is your own beliefs. And all the evidence to date suggests that the healthcare system in the United States is not a reasonable or sensible method to use to address health concerns. The overwhelming preponderance of the evidence is that the healthcare system itself is the number one cause of death in the United States. And once you realize that, then I think you can have a whole list of supporting beliefs and supporting actions that can truly expand your health. Now, this is not anything new, by the way. I wish I could say, oh, I've discovered this. Not true. I remember as a little kid, my father telling me that the hospitals were just death houses. And unfortunately, it has not changed dramatically from that. So whatever your condition is, chances are excellent that you would do better if you did not go to the hospital. So then the next thing, once you've aligned your beliefs, let's say, with available evidence or objective data, then the next question is, what about your relatives? What about your spouse, your children, your friends? How do you help them understand that they need to respect your beliefs? I think the first thing to do is to let them know that you respect their beliefs. Let them know that in case of emergency, you will take them to the emergency room. Let them know that in case of emergency, you will hand them their pills. You will take them to the doctor. And in exchange, all you ask is that they respect your beliefs and not take you to the emergency room and not take you to the hospital. And that is what, that's the first, that's an important key step there, is you have got to first have a set of health supporting beliefs, and second, surround yourself with people, friends, and loved ones who respect those beliefs. They don't have to share them. Just respect them. And this can take a long time in terms of sharing your beliefs. So I would say don't even expect anyone to share them. Just let them know that you will respect their beliefs. In exchange, you'd appreciate it if they would respect yours. And for most people, they're okay with that. So your friends, relatives have this fear that if you don't share their beliefs, you won't respect their beliefs. And that's why they put so much effort into forcing you to adopt their beliefs. But if you just shortcut the whole thing and say to them, hey, I respect your beliefs. I will take you to the doctor, the hospital, the emergency room, whatever it is that you feel is best for your health. But I would appreciate if you would not take me to a doctor, a hospital, or an emergency room. And so that is what that is an important link, an important solution, because you can have your beliefs, your health-supporting beliefs. And if you ask most people who live to 90 years old, they'll tell you that they lived that long because they stayed away from doctors. But now, with people feeling that as part of the propaganda machine and being good citizens, they need to impose their beliefs on their neighbor, and they need to be the police of their neighbor, of their friends, of their relative, you have to let them know, hey, I'm going to respect your beliefs, and all I ask is that you respect mine. Easy beans. And most people are very, very okay with that. So if you identify the person's real fear, which is that you might try to whip up some carrot juice for them when they're really sick instead of taking them to the hospital where they really need to go, let them know, no. I will take you to the hospital. Do not worry. Then they'll respect your practice, whatever it might be, in terms of addressing your health needs. And so that's very, very important. So you got your health beliefs in order. You've addressed your circle of anyone who might try to impose otherwise on you. And so that puts you in a pretty good situation. So the next step is developing the backbone or nerve or whatever you call it to act on your beliefs. And a lot of times that is something that cannot be done in private. In other words, if you decide you don't want health insurance, because employers are now in charge of selling health insurance to their employees, your decision not to have health insurance becomes quite public. Your employer says, wait a minute, you're not buying into the program here. So what do you do? Well, it's good to know that there's no longer a penalty for Obamacare. Or more to the point, the Obamacare penalty is not enforceable. And so you can make the decision not to have health insurance, at least without punishment or adverse economic consequences. So that's number one. So you can let your employer know that the government has seen not to punish you, and maybe he could not do the same as well. Now, unfortunately, there's a whole web of state legislation. For example, in New York State, if I offered health insurance to one employee, I had to offer it to all employees, or all employees had to, I had to offer it to all employees. But I would urge my employees not to get health insurance just because I felt they needed the cash more, and that the health insurance was not effective. So you may need to deal with your employer. And I tell people it's better not to have an employer. Try and get a 1099 type situation. So now you've made the decision, drop your health insurance. And so the important thing about dropping your health insurance is once you drop your health insurance, nobody can get paid for doing anything to you that you don't approve of. So someone can't scrape you up off the street, give you a chest x-ray, stab you full of needles, and say, all right, now I'm going to get paid. You laugh. Oh, Dr. Daz, that's stupid. But it happens. I was in medical school, and when things were slow, they would do that. They would go out in the street, pick up vagrants, homeless people, anybody, fill up those beds, and send a bill to the government. And they would do all kinds of tests and everything on these people. And the folks obviously, or clearly, were better off in the street. At least they wouldn't be tortured there. So by not having insurance, you create a situation where a person has to get your consent. That would be the hospital, the emergency room, the doctor, or anyone wanting to sell you pills. It's got to get your consent. And then, of course, you've already agreed in advance that you're not going to give it, so that's pretty straightforward. The next step, get rid of health insurance, is to get together in your mind what you're going to do if an emergency should arise. Just understand what you think might be an emergency. Everybody has a different view of what an emergency is. But for most, abdominal pain, drinking more water, doing an enema, cutting back on your food, pretty much solves the problem, even if it's a gallbladder problem. That pretty much solves the problem. Whether it's a gallbladder, whether it's a perforation somewhere, because that's no more than what the doctor would do. The doctor is going to cut you open and rinse you out, but that's it. So why not rinse yourself out with an enema? Skip the cutting open part. And go from there. Now, other emergencies, maybe you think a heart attack is an emergency. Fine, no problem. For that, easy. Just mix together a quarter cup of apple cider vinegar, tablespoon of cayenne pepper, stir it up. And if you right then and there on the spot, just take a gulp. And then once the pain eases, which should be a minute or two, and you can just take a teaspoon as often as you want, and at least every hour while you're awake. And then that'll pretty much get you out of the woods. So, broken bones, easy. Just splint them where they lie. Just put a splint on right where the in whatever position the arm or leg is in. A lot of these so-called emergencies, when you go to the hospital, they have a tremendous amount of drama surrounding the whole thing. But the actual essence of what they actually do is very, very little. So once you understand that most of your time in the emergency room is spent waiting, filling out forms, arranging for ways to get the hospital paid, getting information so private detectives can track you through your records, then you realize that when you get to the hospital, your concerns are still, you know, not being addressed at all. So to find out more about different emergencies and how to take care of them, I have an online program, How to Be the Healer in Your Home, and it's also a Visit Panama program where you can come to Panama for 1 week with hands-on experience in how to become a healer so you'll never need the hospital or a doctor again. And for that, you can just send an email to info@vitalitycapsules.com, and Shelley will get back to you. So that's it for our first part of the show. So we're going to go for our question and answer part. I've got quite a few questions here in the Chatango box. So it's healingwithdrdaniels.chatango.com, or you can call in. Ask my engineer for the number. All right. You can call in at 800-313-9443. That number, 800-313-9443. Okay. So, one thing to get straight is what's the meaning of the word believe? To believe is to accept something as true. That's it. With or without evidence. It's to hold an opinion, to think, or suppose meaning guess, have an idea, imagine, suppose, assume, presume, conclude, understand, gather, fancy, guess. The important thing to understand about a belief is it's just a guess, not necessarily based on any fact at all. And so when it comes to beliefs, you're totally entitled to your belief, and other people are entitled to theirs. No two people have the same beliefs, and that's okay. That's what makes people different. So when you understand these beliefs are totally arbitrary and without basis in fact, and that your doctor has a bunch of beliefs, and as such, these beliefs are totally arbitrary, without basis in fact, and it's just a guess. And so your beliefs are just as valid as your doctor's beliefs, or anyone else's beliefs for that matter. So once you get that, then you realize, one, your beliefs are valid, and two, you can change your beliefs, and they can be whatever you want. All right. Okay. Hi, Dr. Downs. I scraped on my shin last summer and put a large, fresh comfort leaf on it. Went for a walk up and down the hills and had a great time enjoying the birds and butterflies. And so I think she's saying is the scrape did just fine. And someone says, Dr. Downs, this is the thing. Because it's not until you go through something similar to this or is painful or life-threatening and come out the other side okay that you have the confidence to try alternative health things like this. It's like it takes the crisis and trauma of the situation to allow the authentic deprogramming to occur. It takes trauma to snap people out of the mind control. Absolutely. I know for me, it took a lot of trauma. You know, I've been through 4 unnecessary surgeries. I would hope that other people wouldn't have to go through as many. Okay, we have a couple of calls. Fred. Hi, Fred. How are you?
Terrific. Yeah, I'm terrific. Doctor, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, now, I'm known for my briefity, but I want a little time because my story, I am the epitome of the subject, the topic you're on today, and I think I could contribute a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm overjoyed that you're back on the air, RBN. The next
Thank
thing,
you.
I have the utmost respect for you. Okay, I'm 80 years old. I've got a younger sister that's retired from 38 years in the medical profession. She was a surgical nurse, and I have a niece that's a doctor. I'm a little excited because you're on a subject that I'm extremely passionate about, and I do think and believe that this program is very important. Okay, you are what you think, and you are what you eat, all right? If you think bad thoughts and negative thoughts, that's bad. If you eat garbage, that's bad. All right, now, I had eye surgery at the vet. And when I went there on both eyes, that they wanted to give me a tranquilizer, and I wouldn't take it. And they just raised hell about it, and I don't get intimidated by white coats anymore. And so they said, and I asked, why should I have a tranquilizer? And the nurse said, and a good person, that, you know, calm you down. I said, well, I do not have no anxiety about the eye surgery. It's pretty, been around for quite a while and successful. And they said, well, she said, well, I'll keep you from moving or jumping. And I said, well, tape my head down, you know. Well, anyhow, I didn't take the tranquilizer and went through the first operation, and it was a success, and then on to the second. Now, months later, I had a fall. I won't go into detail about it, but I cracked my pelvis, cracked my right shoulder, and a severe sprain to my right wrist. I was in extreme pain, all right? I have this sister that's retired from the medical profession that lives in Minneapolis, and actually it's the upper middle class, and she cares for me a great deal, although we do not agree on a lot of things, and I knew I'd have a lot of care. So I went to the vets in Minneapolis, and I'm tangling with the doctors and my sister, and I had this extreme pain, and anyhow, they wanted to give me some strong drugs, and I didn't want to take them, and I didn't want to, you know, bite the bone. But I took Tylenol 3 now, and I at one a day. All right, I was such in extreme pain laying on the bed up at my sister's house, and I had excellent care, loving care from the people up there. But I would be screaming in pain at night, and they would come in and ask, you know, what they can do, and then, you know, to move me and put me in a position where it takes the pain away, and I took a Tylenol 3. Well, anyhow, as time progressed, I laid on the couch, and I have the pillows arranged and everything to get me in the most comfortable position. And then I decide whether I would take a Tylenol 3 at nighttime before I went to sleep so I could be without pain, could make good decisions when I woke up, or whether I should wait till the morning and take as much pain as I can and then take a pain pill. Well, anyhow, I averaged one a day for about 14 days, And then I took my stroller or the walker, and I started going up and down the street as much as I could. And then on the 18th day, I went 5/8 of a mile around the block. But the thing of it is if people are so, they take doctors as God, and what you've been emphasizing is so important. We have to think for ourselves. We have to be responsible for our health. And golly, I could go on air forever.
All right, great. We've got two other people on the air, but thank you. I think it's an important statement, especially coming from someone who's 80 years old, that we just have to take responsibility for ourselves. And as far as thinking for yourself, I would say just, again, have your beliefs, whatever they are, and stick to them. That's protection enough. You don't need to get all scholarly about it. Just have your beliefs and stick to them.
But be willing to ascertain the information and try to make it the best decision that you can. Okay, I could go on forever. Thank you very much. Have a great day, and I'm so happy you're back on air. Goodbye.
Bye. Okay, bye, Fred. Thank you. Okay, we have Tracy in Arkansas. Hi, Tracy.
Hello?
Hi. Is that Tracy?
Yes, yeah. Ma'am, I'm here. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, welcome back, Doctor. I just got a quick question for you. I went to my urologist last week and had a prostate exam, and I got sick with the upper respiratory junk in December, and I have a hernia, but he managed to push the hernia back up. But they referred me to a surgeon, and I've never had surgery in my life. I'm 57 now, and I'll have to pay the 20% of my Medicare I am on. And I'm going to a consultation Tuesday morning, and I'm sure they'll recommend surgery probably. He told me that, it could rupture and the bowels could go, but he pushed it back. But I've still got the hump. It's like an inguinal hernia, or what do you call it? Inguinal or something.
Inguinal.
Like that.
Inguinal.
Yeah, it's on the right-hand side. Either that or I'm going to have a bunch of baby birds. I'm building a nest up in the attic right now.
Yes.
Or a gourd. Or a gourd, I don't know, a vegetarian. I'll be stalking celery before you know it. Do you think I should I go to the consultation? I don't really want to go because I never had surgery, but I've still got the big hump, the hernia down there, and it's on the right side.
Okay, so there's a lot of ways to handle hernias.
Okay.
First of all, you can reduce the hernia yourself. Reduce means get rid of the lump by sliding it back into your abdominal cavity. Do you
That's
know how to do that?
That's what the urologist did, Doctor.
Right, but do you know how to do that?
I don't know how to do that, no.
Okay, so you need to do that. You can just Google in YouTube, reduce my inguinal hernia, or how to reduce my inguinal hernia. I'm sure they have videos on it. But long story short is you want to lay in the bed on your back, put like three pillows under your bottom. We have a commercial. I'll finish after the commercial.
Okay, thank you.
I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. Then once again, you said you would come and dance with me. Dance with me across the sea. We can feel emotion.
Hey, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefits. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.